This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. It is 7:07 a.m, Wednesday the 18th of November, and in about 15 minutes we're going to be speaking with YB Nick Nazmi Nick Ahmad, MP for Sitiya Wangsa on the KL Free Trading Area. We're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account. What are we asking today?
Will a Biden administration change the way America is viewed globally? And tell us your reasons why on this BFM poll. We've got 42 votes right now. 48% say no, still a bully. 29% think they'll be more conciliatory. 19% say maybe they'll become, maybe they'll change the way America is viewed. And 5% just don't know the answer. And I empathize with them.
Do continue to let us know what you think. In the meantime, though, for more insight into global markets, we're speaking with Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Awanda. Jeff, thank you for joining us. Now, it seems that full-on rotational play has reached Asian equities. But apart from stocks, what other assets are benefiting from this shift?
Well, the most obvious one would be energy or oil prices, which are up around, I think, about 10% over the last couple of weeks. Obvious beneficiary of a potential reopening of the world economy. But bonds really haven't shifted. We've seen yield curves steepen, which means that the difference between the short and the long-term rates has got greater, but we're not really seeing it flowing into higher yields. Definitely equities, and most particularly these legacy equities, as I call them, industries, I call them, the ones that nobody loved during the COVID-19 pandemic, have outperformed. But we've seen actually even tech starting to make a comeback now as well. And I think all of this is also supported by ultra-easy monetary policy, which certainly isn't going away anytime soon.
What about gold, Jeff? Is it time to maybe sell these safe haven assets like golds and maybe even bonds?
Well, I think, in a balanced portfolio, you should always have a small holding of precious metals and bonds as sort of non-correlated assets or theoretically non-correlated assets. So I wouldn't suggest selling all of your precious metals and bond holdings. I don't think that yields are going to run away either. Obviously, the price of bonds goes down as yields go up. But central banks have still got the taps open on monetary policy. There's no signs whatsoever that there's any end in sight for that. And I think that'll be a story through 2021. Central banks are going to keep flooding the market with cheap money to give more momentum to the recovery when it comes and to keep the lights on at the point that we're in now.
Meanwhile, Amazon will be launching an e-pharmacy service, sending retail pharmacy share prices down. What are the chances of Amazon succeeding in this trade in overtaking names as well, like Walgreens?
It's going to be really boring when the only place we can shop is Amazon, isn't it? Yeah. Hi, darling. I'm going down the road to Amazon. Yeah. Let's go to the mall and go to Amazon. Yeah. Amazon used their now huge power to enter sectors that they feel that they can win on. They usually win on price, and it's a bit of a scorched earth policy. I see no reason why they can't beat these companies at their own game. I think the big problem for big tech in 2021 is much what we're seeing in China. I think there will be questions asked at a congressional level in the United States with these giant tech companies, whether they're using, they're so big now that they're crushing innovation and competition. What's the point of starting your own company with an idea of Amazon or Facebook or Google are just going to copy it with their multi-billion or trillion-dollar balance sheets? And I think that will be one of the stories for the middle of 2021, where we may start seeing antitrust pressures.
And Jeff, let's also turn our attention to airlines, because share prices of regional airlines like SIA and Cathay Pacific are starting to surge. Is it too premature to call a recovery in the Asian aviation sector?
Yeah, look, until social mobility returns, and by this I mean international borders reopen and we start seeing mass air travel again, I think it's ambitious. The surge in the prices we've seen recently are completely speculative. There's not going to be some magic panacea that billions of vaccines are going to hit the world in January and it will all be inoculated and life will go back to normal. So I'd say that getting involved in airline shares at this stage is very, very speculative. And for the brave, certainly I wouldn't be looking to I wouldn't be looking at it as a strategic play at the moment. We need to see a lot more evidence of the recovery and for borders opening for airline stocks to start looking loved again.
Jeff, let's talk about Malaysia for a little bit here. Even with rising virus cases and a federal budget being hotly debated, the ringgit hasn't weakened. In fact, I think it's strengthened against the US dollar in recent time. What is behind the currency's strength and stability at the moment, and where do you see its short-term range?
There's a couple of things in play here. Firstly, this is mostly a dollar story. It's not necessarily a ringgit story. You've seen Asian currencies as a whole appreciate quite strongly, even the Indonesian rupiah against the US dollar. That's been led by the North Asian countries. Now that we've got vaccines on the horizon, the Southern Asian countries, which are much heavier in their makeup of economies of sort of primary and legacy industries and much lighter in tech industries, so to speak, we're starting to see it flow through to your Singapore dollars, rupiahs, Thai bahts and Malaysian ringgits. So I think this is really a 2021 recovery play that we're seeing and starting off. But also, I think that the US dollar will materially weaken in 2021. And this is another effect that we're seeing. As far as where I think it goes, I think any move up to 4.15 against the greenback is probably good selling. And I'm expecting the rally to continue and for it to test 4.05. Going into 2021, I think we're going to see the ringgit along with the rest of the Asian currencies appreciate, and we'll see it back below 4.00.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Jeff. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda, of the opinion that the ringgit's performance against the dollar recently is more of a dollar story than it is the ringgit. And I think his expectation of 4.05 is not really that far off from where it was. I think even just yesterday, it was, 4.103, if I remember correctly. So, we're not that far off.
Yes, and what really interests me is that piece of news, right? Amazon launching Amazon Pharmacy, which is a delivery service for prescription medication. I guess it was a matter of time because I think about 2 years ago, they bought over a company, PillPack, that actually sells medication online.
What interests me, though, was what he said about aviation prices, stock prices, right? And the speculative nature of it. I think this is something we all need to keep in mind here because we've seen the rotational plays coming into play over the last few weeks. And even on Bursa Malaysia, I've noticed some of the more beaten down stocks, whether there's banks or the travel and leisure sector, have recovered somewhat. But this is all already pricing in a vaccine in the future, right? All this good news has been priced in already. So just keep in mind that any stumbles across the board could be negative for these stocks in the later time because aviation isn't expected to recover immediately. So even if you've come back to or close to pre-COVID levels, just expect this to remain kind of like that ballpark for a while unless something negative happens.
And speaking of stock trading, there is a piece of international news this morning. Sources told Bloomberg that Robinhood Markets, so the trading platform that's popular with novice investors in the US, they've asked banks to pitch for roles in a potential IPO. Now, according to people familiar with the information, the company is aiming to go public as soon as the first quarter of 2021. But these plans are still a little up in the air, and Robinhood may decide not to pursue the IPO as well. In September, Robinhood raised an additional $460 million in a Series G funding round, lifting its valuation to $11.7 billion.
I guess they have to keep their plans open because God knows what the stock market conditions will be like right next year. It really depends on whether the US has the COVID-19 situation under control. But really, this proposed IPO follows a huge boom in their volume on the platform. As we know, many millennials and Gen Z traders had come into the market. I think it has 13 million accounts on its platform alone.
Yeah, and you know some of the investors it counts in its pool, right, include Sequoia and Edison Horowitz, which are very big tech investors in general. And it's all going to be about volume, right? Because that's how they actually. It's about that user base because Robinhood doesn't make money on fees, right? It makes money essentially on information that the users provide. And a lot of times, if you take a look at their earnings, they sell that information over to Goldman Sachs and the like. So that's the way. If you are not paying for the product, you're probably the product. Just keep that in mind.
All right. And we're going to be taking a look at some local news in just a bit with comments from YB Nick Nazmi, Nick Ahmad, MP for Siatia Wangsa on the decision to make KL a free trading area. But that's happening after these messages. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.